Welcome to Sabbatical 101. My name is Bethany Walensky, and I'm an associate professor at Michigan State University. I had a life-changing sabbatical, and I'm on a mission to help fellow academics do the same. This podcast is a resource for all things academic sabbaticals. Each episode will provide you with inspiration and insight into the sabbatical planning process, regardless of your institution, discipline, length of sabbatical, or where you plan to sabbatical. I'm so excited to have you along for the ride.
Hey, everyone. Today, I want to talk about how to create the right balance between rest and productivity during your sabbatical. I think sabbaticals are having a moment right now, or maybe it's just my news feed. There's a lot out there in the business world about the benefits of sabbaticals and how they enhance workers' commitment and productivity. And I think this is great because I think everyone should have access to a sabbatical. But what I've noticed is that a lot of what I read about sabbaticals in the corporate sphere equate sabbatical to a vacation or a trip. So when corporations offer sabbatical leave, it's often a month or 6 weeks away with no expectation of work-related activity. I've also talked to and work with clients who are taking a sabbatical as a career break. They've left or are leaving their job and taking time off for a sabbatical before they start looking for a new job. Both of these approaches harken back to the original conceptualization of sabbatical as a period of rest and renewal. The word sabbatical is derived from the Hebrew word Shabbat, which means rest, and the biblical idea of letting land lie fallow every 7 years. While the academic sabbatical is rooted in this idea of rest and renewal, faculty are expected to advance their scholarly work in some way during their sabbatical. And most of the faculty I talk to also want to work on their scholarship during sabbatical. Now, let me just pause here to say that I don't think most faculty have any problem being productive. If you're listening to this podcast and thinking about your sabbatical, you probably know how to get things done and publish your research. It's how you earned your sabbatical in the first place. So I don't see my role as a sabbatical coach as one of helping people be more productive during their sabbatical, unless that's my client's goal and they need me to help them figure out a strategy to get them there. The other thing I want to point out is that I think we can all stand to take a step back and consider what we mean when we think about what productivity looks like during a sabbatical. I think we often assume that a productive sabbatical means you have some sort of a scholarly product at the end, like a book or a book proposal or a series of articles. But there are so many different ways that a sabbatical can look. And I think we just assume that everyone sort of does the same thing or measures their scholarly productivity in the same way during sabbatical. If you're interested in this, check out episode 27 of the podcast, where I answer the question, what should I actually do on my sabbatical? And help you think through lots of different ways to think about what a productive sabbatical looks like. So, going back to this idea, the balance between rest and productivity. The other thing that I'll say, and I have a blog post about this, sort of instructing people on how you can think about rest. I think rest during a sabbatical is great and it's really important. I rested for the first 5 months of my sabbatical. I did no work. I guess I didn't rest. I was still, you know, mothering and traveling. But in terms of thinking about my scholarly productivity, I gave myself a free pass to not think about that for the beginning of my sabbatical. And that was really important to me because I was really burned out and I had a lot of work that I needed to do personally around just kind of getting myself back to a good baseline in terms of my physical and mental health. So when I talk about the balance between rest and productivity, it's also not to diminish the validity of rest. You know, if that's your primary sabbatical goal, I think that's great. And maybe stop listening now. Let's not even think about the work that could get done on sabbatical. But I also find that most of my clients and the other academics I talk to who are interested in learning more about my program are seeking some sort of a balance between rest and productivity. They typically want to get off of the hamster wheel of kind of working all the time and rediscover elements of their non-academic identity that they don't have time for, or that they just kind of have pushed aside in the race to tenure. So that's the inspiration for this episode, is because this is something I see coming up time and time again. And I just had a conversation with a new client about this exact challenge, and that's what inspired me to record this episode. So if you're wondering the same thing, you're thinking, how do I rest during sabbatical? How do I create a sabbatical that's really restful and restorative, but also advance my scholarship? Then here are three tips you can use as you plan your sabbatical. And I'll just say, you know, for many of us, the reason that we got into academia is because we care a lot about the research that we do. We're curious. We like to be intellectually stimulated. So even though rest is important, we don't want to kind of loaf around all sabbatical, right? We want to keep thinking and getting inspired in our area of research. So, okay, here are the three tips that you can use as you think about how you can create this balance, or make sure you allow room for rest and also make space for productivity during your sabbatical. So the first tip is to set clear and reasonable goals, but stay flexible. So the first thing that will allow you to rest during sabbatical is having realistic goals. And this is so hard. I think oftentimes we're not incredibly realistic in our sabbatical applications, particularly if you're at an institution where earning a sabbatical is competitive. Of course, you're going to promise to do amazing things on your sabbatical. The challenge with that is that if you've set unrealistic goals, you spend your entire sabbatical worrying that you're not going to be able to do all of those things, right? Or berating yourself for not getting everything done. And so that doesn't help you get off of this hamster wheel of productivity and slow down and get the rest and renewal that you need. So if you want to have a chance to rest during sabbatical, it's really important before your sabbatical starts, or even early on in your sabbatical, to take a really honest look at what you've promised yourself you would do, and to be really honest with yourself about how much you can actually accomplish during your time away. Spoiler alert, it's probably less than you hope you'll be able to do, right? All of us have lives outside of our work and things that, you know, caregiving responsibilities, other commitments, things we enjoy doing. We do not work 24 hours a day, and often we underestimate how long different things will take us. So what I would recommend is that you look at your calendar for your sabbatical. In my program, I have my clients print out calendar pages, one page for every month of their sabbatical, and then they actually map their projects onto the calendar and say, you know, given the things that I already know, like holidays, times the kids are on school break, trips I have planned, we put all that in first and block those off, because those are things we know are already in place. And then we look at, okay, what is the work time that you really have here? And if you want to do other activities like exercising or taking a music class or piano lessons or a pottery class, where does that fit in? And then we say, okay, what time is left for the work that you want to get done? And is it realistic to do all the things that you're planning to do? A lot of times we have to pare things down, right? We have to aim a little lower than the ideal. And, you know, I don't think that's a bad thing, right? Because aiming a little lower doesn't mean that you're a less good scholar or less successful. But what it does mean is it's going to take a lot of pressure off of you during your sabbatical, and I think ultimately help you be more effective during your work hours and create this positive feedback loop, because you've set attainable goals, you're doing the things you wanted to do, and you're feeling good. And so then you keep doing the things you wanted to do and keep feeling good. And guess what? If you finish everything and you still have time left over, then you get to make a decision. Do I want to just rest for the rest of my sabbatical or take some more time off? Or do I want to do those some of those other things that I had hoped to do, but that I had taken off my plate? So think hard about your goals. Part of this is also being flexible, right? We know that life happens, things will inevitably shift. So have goals, have things that you're aiming for, but try not to hold them too tightly, right? As you step away from the daily grind, you might find that new things are interesting and exciting to you, that projects you've been working on no longer seem important, right? So don't hold those goals too tightly. Be okay with letting yourself notice when you might want to pivot or go in a new direction or stop working on a project because it no longer excites you or it's no longer aligned with your goals. So be open to shifts and be ready to adapt. Okay, the second tip is to design a manageable schedule. So this is, again, like one of the things that I think people really worry about during sabbatical. You're so excited about your sabbatical and, you know, not having the accountability of teaching, not having committee meetings, getting to really have, you know, your own time and structure it as you want. But then you pull that the accountability structures away and it can be easy to feel sort of untethered or unsure. You know, what do I do if I don't have my calendar full of different things I have to be, you know, different meetings I have to run to? And what do I do if I don't have to plan for my lecture tomorrow? It's easy to feel unsure of how to structure your time. And it's also really easy to either overcommit or procrastinate, right? So you might think, oh, I have all the time in the world. Yes, I'll take that on. And before you know it, your sabbatical gets taken up by other people's agenda. The other challenge, and this is one that many of my clients also face, is a sense of low motivation, right? And procrastination. When you don't have a place you need to be and a thing you need to do, it can be hard to kind of get up and get your day started and use your time in meaningful ways. So what you want to do is think about how you can create a schedule that includes some dedicated time for work, if that's part of your sabbatical plan, while also making room for rest, physical activity, again, those non-academic tasks and or aspects of your non-academic identity that you want to cultivate during your sabbatical. So here are a few options for sort of time management on your sabbatical. You might use a version of the Pomodoro technique where you work in focused intervals and then you take scheduled breaks. So one of my clients was just telling me that the way that she wrote her book was she wrote for 45 minutes and then took a 15-minute break to have a snack or go for a walk or grab a cup of coffee. And so she's planning on using that same approach during her sabbatical because it worked really well. It made For her, it was helpful to know that there was a focused time for work, but also to know that she was supposed to stop at a certain point and then start again. Another thing you could do is some time blocking, and this could look a variety of different ways. So some of my clients decide that they're going to use the morning for writing. So they, you know, set aside 2 or 3 hours each morning to write, and then they have a more flexible schedule in the afternoon. Or maybe if they have to have regular meetings with their students or research groups or collaborators, they have prioritized having those meetings all happen in the afternoon and only on certain days so that they have this time reserved for kind of more deep work. And then the things that they have to show up for happen on particular days and at particular times. Another way to think about your weekly rhythm is to only work certain days of the week. So some of my clients plan to take 1 or 2 days off each week. And then they use, so let's say Monday is off, and then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday are work days, and then Friday is off. Another way you might think about structuring your time is to think about having a different theme for each day. So I love this idea. One of my clients said, you know, she doesn't want to have her time so scheduled. She doesn't want to have a full calendar, that's not helpful. But in order to stay productive and motivated and engaged, she feels like she wants to wake up in the morning and know the purpose of the day. And so we talked about the different kinds of goals she has during her sabbatical, and she came up with different themes for the day. So she has kind of a daily routine, and then there are these blocks of time where, you know, one day it's sort of like organizing the house or working on like home systems. Another day it's writing. Actually, several days it's writing. Another day is like hiking or social time with friends. So you could think about, based depending on your need for structure, some of us need more structure, some of us need less structure. There are different ways to think about managing your schedule so that you still have some structure and routine in place, but you have flexibility that makes the time feel different than it does when you're not on sabbatical. And then my third tip is maybe a hard truth, that sometimes you just need to schedule rest. I think if you have earned a sabbatical, like I said, you're very good at being productive. You're probably very good at working. And for some of us, it can just be really hard to turn that off. It can, not working can bring up feelings of guilt and inadequacy, or we might just have spent so much time, devoted so much time to our work and careers that we don't have a lot of leisure time, hobbies or activities that we know we enjoy. So what I recommend to my clients who say like they're just really worried about even about resting at all and they're not quite sure how to do it is a couple things. So the first thing I recommend is to just start really small. So if it's hard for you to think about how to rest, I would just schedule 2 hours into your week where you have blank calendar space. And when you get to that time on your calendar, you go sit on the couch, you maybe watch some TV or you read or do something that to you is restful. I would encourage you to try and use your sabbatical time to really lean into what you like to do, to discover new things about yourself and your own interests, but also to try to think about and push yourself to not only rest in ways that are super productive. This is another thing that I see in my clients and in myself, that it's like, okay, I have this rest time on my calendar. I'm going to work on the shopping list for next week, or I'm going to practice the piano, or I'm going to organize the linen closet. And that's what I would think of as like productive rest. It could be interesting to think about, when you rest, are you taking kind of a productive rest, or are you sort of resting for rest's sake, or letting yourself kind of daydream or let your mind wander, or just kind of really, really relax and not be producing something? All that is to say, we all have different preferences and needs, but I do try to encourage my clients to think about, is there room in your schedule for just like true rest or true unstructured time versus the kind of activities that fuel some non-academic interest, but are also often productive? So schedule in your rest, right? Think about, what do you like to do? Remind yourself of the benefit of doing things for yourself and not always being productive or working towards some end goal. And then experiment with just having some blank space with no real agenda and see how that feels, and see if you can work your way up to taking more and more rest throughout the week, and not having a set agenda during that time. So just to recap, the 3 tips for balancing work and productivity during your academic sabbatical are: 1, set clear and reasonable goals, but stay flexible. 2, design a manageable schedule. And then 3 is schedule your rest time. I hope these tips for balancing rest and productivity during sabbatical were helpful. If you want more insight into different ways you can think about resting during sabbatical, you can check out my blog post that's linked in the show notes. And if you have a sabbatical coming up and these ideas resonated with you, I'd love to hear more about your sabbatical and to tell you more about my sabbatical planning program, Reignite Your Life-Changing Sabbatical. I'll also put a link in the show notes where you can learn more about that program, and I'd love for you to schedule a sabbatical strategy session by clicking the link on my website.
I hope you found this episode of Sabbatical 101 helpful and inspirational as you think about your own sabbatical. If you want to read more about sabbaticals or get even more support for planning your own life-changing sabbatical, head over to my website, www.bethanywalinsky.com, to read my blog and for more information about my sabbatical coaching program.